Blog Talk Radio.
Magic, witchcraft, paganism. You're listening to Witch School Live.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you out there today. We're going to start our show today with who's going to be our guest. It'll be Silver Vixen. She'll be joining us later. She's a videographer who's been doing a lot of stuff on YouTube and other things of that nature. It'll be interesting to have a talk to her. And tomorrow, Wendy LaJoy, everybody's favorite mentor, one of our longest-serving people. She's going to give you an inside look to her life. So it's 347-308-8222. And so Wendy, mentor and everything else, we're going to show you her our appreciation tomorrow. Okay, my head's spinning today. I must tell you right now, my head is spinning like a top. I feel perfectly fine. My health has never been better. But what's causing my head to spin is I spent maybe the last 90 out of 100 waking hours over the last 5 days, 4 days. I mean, I've just been, everything I've been doing when I'm not doing something to take care of myself or doing the things I need to do around the house, I've been studying social media networks, social Twitters, social everything. And I'm telling you, my head's spinning. As many of you may know or don't know, I have one incredibly uncanny ability to see way too far ahead in the future. What do I mean by too far ahead in the future? I have seen projects, what they look like when they're completed, but sometimes I have a hard time figuring out the steps to go into it to get there. And so what happens is sometimes I've jumped in the past to try to get somewhere and the technology wasn't there. An example of this is my largest jump that I ever did in my life, and that was when I was 13 years old, when I set out to discover and explore telepathy, and I wanted to build a synthetic telepathy machine. And every day of my life since then, I've grown closer to it. In fact, I can actually start to build it. It would cost me about $100,000, which I don't have laying around, nothing even close to it. But what happens is that you could communicate at will with another person. Cell phones have come a long way. But this is how I had to be. It was 1976, and that was my big project. And since then, I've had sort of these weird moments where I predicted that things are going down. YouTube was an example of it. We were working on YouTube, and then suddenly YouTube began to emerge, and we joined that instead of trying to build it because we don't have a lot of resources. Jumping through the Internet, doing radio in the 90s. We've always been trying to stay on the edge. Our current movement into social media has shown me something brand new, and that is something unpredicted. And that is the leveling of the playing field, no less equivalent to what happened in 1996. In 1996, basically the web browser came on strong, and as the World Wide Web, as we know it, really began. It was a little earlier than that, but people ask all the time, was there life before this, before the Internet? And I know that there's a longer history there. But for practical purposes, by 1996, the Internet had begun to take hold in our society and began to change society and became a leveler between the very, very, very big businesses and the very, very, very small businesses. And that was really kind of a big thing for us. From the very, very, very big businesses to the very, very small businesses, all could get on the Internet. And on the Internet, they could all look the same. Yep, you knew that. But at the time, it wasn't as that self-evident, is that a lot of companies who were small, local companies, became regional companies, then national companies, and then international companies. And some international companies started seeing that they had competitors in very small groups. So that was something very exciting. And so I've been kind of, my head's been spinning because I started to become a part of this project of trying to understand what I needed. We're in the process of really discussing about mentors. There's a big conversation going on the mentoring system, and that's another part of this. Our mentor systems are some of the world's best online teachers. They are able to help people anywhere. And they have a lot of tools at their hands, and they have a lot more tools at their hands suddenly. That's the thing. This is where my head's spinning. And what does it mean for you? WIIFM, one of my favorite stations that everybody always pays attention to. WIIFM is what's in it for me. Why do we do these things? We have this very big part of our lives that we do things for other people. We do things for work. We do things for our family. We do things for our religion. We do things for our practices. We do things for our hobbies. And at the end of the day, there comes a moment where you have to ask yourself the question, what's in it for me? And it's one of those great things that you have to deal with. It's the idea that you have to pay attention to see, why does this help you? Does it help your family? Does it help everything else? And so for me, this social media thing goes, well, what is it we're dealing with? And so over the last 90 hours, I have been dealing with the idea of how social media works. In a few minutes, I think Silver Vixen will be with us, and I will further discuss this in a little bit. But what it does mean for us, it means that the net has changed in a way that little companies can once again compete with big companies because a new tool has been introduced, a whole slew of them. So quick, it's become what we would call disruptive. Okay, well, I'll be back in 1 minute with Silver Vixen. And we're going to play this. Are you on the line with us today?
Yes, I am.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. Your appearance here today, and everybody can see us astrally, and they can see you on your videos. That basically, social media has become my life over the last, like I said, 100 hours. I have spent more time on the net looking at people's videos and articles and discussions and blogs and tweets. And you're part of this whole brave new world, aren't you?
Yep.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself? What are you doing? I mean, I saw that you're doing a lot of YouTube videos.
Well, I do a lot of YouTube videos. Sometimes I'll do what you do and just kind of skim around and check out everybody, see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But my videos are actually more for some of the people. Well, it's kind of split, actually, because I do videos for the kids that I teach, which I teach on, like, 5 different websites.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it because a lot of my students have sometimes a difficulty with just reading the material and searching out the information for themselves. So I thought the 10-minute YouTube videos would be a good idea. That way they could go ahead and see what I'm doing, and it would give them a little bit, something different for them to work with. So.
But in that process, you all make them public so that almost anybody can see them.
Oh, all my videos are public.
And you've also appreciated the fact that you've embedded them on our website as well. we've been featuring some of it. If you go to our videos and feature, you'll see your self-dedication, which is the first that I know of online from our groups.
Well, actually, the whole reason why I even bothered recording that was because I noticed that there wasn't one for the self-dedication anyway. I didn't notice any videos or anybody talking about it, so I thought maybe to try to inspire some people that were out there to try and, you know, maybe do that themselves, and that way everybody can see, you know, we're not evil, we're not worshiping the devil, we're not doing any of that crap, you know, that a lot of people have the misconceptions of. And I thought it would be a good idea not only to put it up on YouTube, but I think I also have it on a couple other websites as well.
And absolutely. And you talk about working through multiple sites.
Yeah.
That's another aspect of this. You said that you're multiple sites teaching people. So you have what we call a cyber ministry of sorts, an educational cyber ministry, it sounds like. It's a term that we tend to use in talking about reaching out and having people depend on you and everything else, except instead of it being on a physical level, it's on the level of what we call cyberspace.
Yep.
Yeah. And you talk about teaching kids, you mean like young adults or?
Well, most of the time I usually teach teenagers. Usually they're between the ages of like 13 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I work pretty well with them because they're really interested in it, and they seem to be really keen on learning. But I have taught a few that were about 8 or 9, and I have taught a few young adults that were probably in their early 20s. So I think I've only ever teached one person that was 36, I think.
Okay. So you're part of this next gen of Wicca. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got here? I mean, how did you get started doing all this?
Well, that's kind of an interesting question, and I've actually been asked that several different times. If anybody listens to some of the older blog talks that I've been on with you guys,
mm-hmm.
I did mention that I used to have an ex-girlfriend. Unfortunately, she's passed away now. I was about 9 years old, and I think she was 13, and she came from a very devout Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was her way of rebelling against her family to go into Wicca. But for me, it was more of a time of enlightenment where I was starting to question religion, try to find my own path. And I've never actually followed really too much mainstream anything. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of enlightening for me, and I felt so complete and so whole, and I still do every time I look out my window. So, but in order to get started with it, I think the first thing you should do is definitely start with researching what it's really all about and the different traditions that are in it. So,
I agree with you. That's what our life is all about, is making sure people have open access and attention. Okay. And then so you've gotten started on this, and you're doing the videos, and now you're doing videos and you're teaching. What is it that you think helps you reach out? What do you that you think that helps you reach out to people on the internet? Is there anything that you use in particular?
Well, definitely the websites that I've created myself. I have one website that I started, I don't know, about 2 years ago, I guess. It's more or less just a basic forum-type deal, and I use it as an archive of all the information that I find on the net that I think would be helpful to my students. I definitely refer them over to that. YouTube has been a huge help in reaching out to people. So.
Good. We've got a caller, so let's go ahead and take our caller here. Hi, caller. You're on Witch Bull Live.
Okay. I just want to make you didn't say the number. Okay. So am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Okay.
How are you doing? This is what you're live.
I just noticed that you were on live, so I thought I'd say hi.
Oh, great.
I'm Gene on the scene. I do my own show there too. I'm a commentator. Anyway, so I'm basically just sort of listening. In our area, I'm in Dayton. There's a metaphysical shop there called Anything Under the Moon, and there's a girl witch there named Amanda, and she sells basically stones and herbs, stuff like that, because her brother's a geologist. So, I don't know what else to say. You said something about you had young students or that kind of thing. I'm a little older than teenage.
Right.
But I'm basically, I'm just sort of learning this slowly. I'm basically an eclectic person, as Amanda would say. I'm an eclectic person. I kind of listen to all the religions and stuff.
Well, that's something, in Silver Vixen, you just said the same thing, is that I think one of the things is there's, people are not willing to accept this yet, but I consider myself quite eclectic as well. And I think there is like this sort of American underlying faith you would call eclectic, where it's not so much about any one given religion.
I look at it as a buffet.
Yes.
That's a good way to look at it.
And some people are mentioning cafeteria. And so you do a show as well on Blog Talk Radio, Gene on the Scene?
Yeah, it's called Gene on the Scene. But most of them are like commentaries on whatever I'm interested in at the time. A few weeks ago, Corazon Aquino passed away, so I did a profile on her last week after doing some research. Stuff like that, you know?
Well, that's an important part, and it gives you a voice. And that's one of the things I'm talking about, social media. Well, thank you for calling in with us today. And,
okay, and blessed be.
And blessed be. Thank you so much. And give my best to Amanda there.
Okay, you have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. And, okay, so, wow, it is interesting how, and this is what I'm talking about, social media. Gene on the Scene, he started his own show. Actually, I've seen the piece that he just talked about. I didn't realize who it was. Because I'm looking at all this commentary. So, How do you make, okay, and you mentioned that you have your archived research that sort of thing. What is it that you're hoping over the long term that you're going to do?
Well, actually, I'm still kind of debating about really what I want to do long term as far as Wicca goes, because I really want to be a teacher of it. Like I am now, except I'd like to be a lot more knowledgeable, and that's the reason why I actually joined Witch School, because I'm finding that Witch School offers a lot of great classes that give you a different point of view on certain subjects. So,
I actually think that one of the aspects of Witch School, I think that is great for people like yourself, is that we are dedicated to very much the idea of a lifetime education. This is an educational path where you spend 4 years studying it, and then you never look back at the changes. The world doesn't work that way anymore. You give us a call at 347-308-8222. You can give us a call with Ed the Pagan and talk with us, Silver Vixen. Today we're talking about social media and reaching out. So that's one of the aspects. So, one of the things that you've done that I think is very interesting that most people don't is you've taken up through social media a sort of leadership role, leadership by nothing else, example, by putting yourself on creating your own almost mini reality show in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah, and definitely in some ways I think it does kind of have that whole reality show type feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to make it that way because I find that my students actually respond to it a little better, so...
And I understand that because we ourselves have gone out and done, filmed big rituals, little rituals. We ourselves have like 500 videos. We just went over 500 videos this weekend on our channel.
I saw that.
Yay! It's like that. Our latest one is a trip under the hill where Rihanna and Bitterwind go hunting wandwood.
Yep.
And that's normally something that was always very private to us. I mean, we just did it. And this time they went out and showed kind of that sort of ground. And what we're getting response from it is that people thought it was beautiful, it was that. But it also gives them a part of the experience of what we're doing. I mean, it shares with them the idea that they can see where the wand, you know, they can actually now see where some of the wand with the wands we sell came from. They can actually see it being collected. And that's a kind of a strong feeling. Do you use chat rooms at all?
There is a chat room on my forum site, and I'm currently in the process of actually creating a more professional-looking site because I'm also a tarot card reader. And I was thinking about maybe doing tarot card readings for those who specifically request them. So.
I understand that. You'd be surprised at how many tarot readers we have amongst us. Tarot is definitely an art of the witch. One of the things maybe this is what I'm looking at. I guess one of the things I'm seeing on the web, and if you don't mind me sharing it with you for a minute here, is that I'm starting to see that websites are coming apart at the seams. That they're basically being torn apart and rebuilt using what I would call patches. I know they use patches as a new term. They actually call them widgets. They call them apps. They call them all sorts of things. And I'm seeing that they're not putting websites together the same way, meaning you can all incorporate parts of Witch School. Anybody can incorporate parts of Witch School, and I actually saw somebody do it over the weekend, into various types of websites because we have all these RSS feeds, which is real simple syndication. I saw that. See, people can take parts from our site and put it on their site through this. Your own videos. I guess this is what I'm getting to. It can be embedded in anybody's site, right?
Yep.
And they don't even have to ask you your permission anymore. You've already given them permission, haven't you, through YouTube?
Yep. I have told several people that if you ever want to take any of my videos, you can definitely borrow them and put them on your website. Just let me know which website you're putting them on. That way, every once in a while, I can bounce over there and let them know, hey, look, you know, there's a new video that I think would be appropriate for your website. Here's the link to it. You can go ahead and embed it.
And so that gives you, it gives people a way to share that. We just did that this weekend. We have a whole course. We've added some 42 pieces of video from the Alliance of Youth Summits, which was sponsored by the State Department last year. And they put it up on Howcast, which we have videos on Howcast ourselves. And they were sharing how to build through social media, how to build community organizations, how to build things like how to take it to the streets, how to, you know, safety factors. The guy from the founder of Facebook went there and talked about Facebook. And so we created, because we thought this was such a rich course, we created a whole page on our website that links to this. Not only links to it, but embeds it in our own site. And we were able to bring this sort of very quality piece to our people. So anybody can see it. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that. I mean, you do a lot of embedding. Do you think that some of the aspects of what you're doing is, do you see yourself using, like, widgets and things like that?
Actually, I really don't use widgets at all. Even on the two websites that I've created myself, I don't use widgets at all. To be honest with you, I think it distracts. In a lot of cases, it actually distracts the students that are trying to learn because they get so wrapped up in doing any of the apps and the widgets and this, that, and the other. So.
Okay. And that's the other side of this. Is that there is so much of a distraction factor that you have with your students. In closing, if people wanted to find you, how do they find you?
Well, there's several different places that you can find me. One of the places that I teach is actually a website called spellsofmagic.com. I'm a moderator on there, and I help out not only with teaching, but making sure that the chat room there and the forums stay clean and appropriate for kids, because that's the main quantity of people that we have on there. And you can also find me on Witch School, and you can also find me on YouTube at the Dark Moon Midnight. So.
And so you have any videos planned for us soon? Any more coming up that you're planning to do?
I'm still in debate about really what I want to do. I was actually thinking about maybe making a YouTube video on what I have learned so far from all the classes on Witch School.
Well, thank you. That would be very interesting, I guess. I, 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 one of the things I do talk about sometimes is sometimes I live in a vacuum because I'm here in central Illinois and I'm working through the net. Sometimes I don't realize that we do have an impact, that all of this has an impact. We're changing the way the world works. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you doing it. I'm hoping that sometime soon you'll think about teaching at Witch School, too. We're always looking for people to help. In fact, you are teaching from Witch School. Your videos up there are up there for people to share. People have mentioned them. They've talked about them. And I really appreciate you being part of this whole social media experiment we're involved with.
Yeah, I definitely like the whole point of Second Life. I can volunteer for that for the 3 hours that's being asked, but I can only do it every other weekend because I am a CNA and I'm working the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift.
Oh, that's a tough shift.
It's a tough shift, but I'll tell you what, it is one of the most rewarding shifts that I think I've ever worked because there are some of the elderly that are awake and they do need your help, and you want to talk about the feeling of, you know, that rewarding. And it's just small, simple things. You know, they call and say, look, I need a glass of water and I can't get out of bed. You go in there, get them their glass of water, and then they just have this big smile on their face, you know. So it's definitely a rewarding experience.
And any vampires come in? I'm sorry, I'm just teasing you.
The funny thing is about the whole vampire thing, I've actually received a comment on YouTube. Unfortunately, I had to remove it because it was rather disturbing. But I've actually been called a vampire because of the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And of course you're not. You're a witch.
Of course I'm not, no.
No, you're a witch, not a vampire. Okay. You know, you always see that. I don't know. I've been watching a little bit of British television because we have this channel called, BBC in America.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard of this new show called Being Human.
No, I haven't.
It's the Three Stooges. It's really kind of funny because you mentioned that. And one of the things is everything seems to happen at night for them. And it's the Three Stooges of meta-supernatural. We have a ghost, Amanda, we have a vampire, and we have a werewolf. We're all living in a house trying to be human beings.
Oh, I bet that's very interesting.
It's hysterical, and it's like, you know, these three characters are going through all these miserable situations trying to be like humans when the monsters are out there. And, well, there are the monsters. So, by people, and it shows kind of this sort of weird show. But it always gets me, and maybe you can set a straight thing, but really, mostly hospitals and places that are like this are usually pretty quiet at night, aren't they? They're not like
Yeah, except in the Alzheimer's unit at the place where I work, it's actually very spiritually active.
Wow, I did not know that.
The Alzheimer's unit at the place where I work is actually a very old Victorian-style house that was converted into the Alzheimer's wing. And at night, you'll see some of the residents will be up, and they will actually be walking up and down the hallway chasing after a little boy. And I find it absolutely hysterical because a lot of the times the other CNAs that are working that at night don't see it. And I'm the first day that I walked in there and walked over into the Alzheimer's unit to meet the lead CNA that was over there. There was this little boy that took off running between the door and the back door, and the next thing you know, the alarm's going off, and I'm sitting there going, oh, man.
Oh, my. No, actually, Marianne, who we talked about, who's visiting her mother today, is also suffering from Alzheimer's. And so it's very – so for us at Witchville, it's something very personal that we're dealing with. We've watched Helen Kaufman, this wonderful woman, a nurse, a registered nurse for all of her life. And she used to do baby wards and things like that, and now she's succumbed to this, and it's she's putting up a brilliant battle. Funny, she's witty, you know, that sort of thing. She mentions when she helped deliver the Lindbergh baby, which is true, she did. And so it is interesting, but this is something very personal to us, but I have not heard anyone actually talk about that. Must be very interesting to put an Alzheimer's unit. So you think? Do you think the kid is a ghost there, or do you think it's a hallucination amongst them? And I know that you're not an expert in this. I'm just saying from your point of view.
Well, from my point of view, because I can see it, I think it's actually, it really is a spirit. And way back when it was actually a house, there was not only a little boy that lived there who died suddenly, there was also a little girl. And you don't hear too much from a lot of the CNAs and the residents about the little girl, because I think it's mainly because she's quiet. I have seen her, but she's very quiet. It's the little boy that runs around laughing and giggling. So,
well, that's an amazing story. I've not heard anything quite like it.
I think it's funny because I usually keep this to myself, and it's only been within the past probably 2-3 years, 4 years maybe, that I've actually opened myself to telling people that I can see spirits. And
oh, I've heard that part before. I mean, we all that's what we teach, how to do that. I meant that Alzheimer's patients seeing the spirit, that somebody who sees spirits can verify. That's fascinating. I mean, we do ghost hunts and things like that. But you've had a hard time telling people this, right?
Oh, I had a very difficult time explaining to people what I was seeing, because I used to walk down the street, and to them it looked like I was talking to myself. In actuality, it wasn't. I wasn't talking to myself. I was talking to, I've talked to World War II vets who have died and have been buried around the area, and I've talked to a couple of people who have been hanged in the area, and to the outside world, it looks like I'm talking to myself and it looks like I'm crazy, but in actuality, I'm actually talking to these spirits, trying to help them find their way to the other side where they belong.
Whereas when I'm talking to myself, I'm because I'm crazy, you know. But when, you know, when you have voices in your head, never leaves you alone. I'm just teasing. So how do these voices or things manifest for you? I always ask that because people are always asking me, well, how do I know it's happening? You know, how do I know it? Because the thing that happens is that we've been taught in our society is that when you have these sort of voices or ideas, you are dangerous. You have voices. You're not supposed to be hearing things. And they go, oh, you're not supposed to. So people keep it like to yourself, you know, secret. And so people then ask me, says, well, how do you know that this is happening to you? How do you know that this is a spirit talking to you?
Well, I'm going to actually tell you a brief little story about an incident that happened to me, and then I'll answer your question.
Okay.
I used to live in Florida, and when I was living in Florida, I had a lot of close friends, and unfortunately, our closeness has dissipated since I moved back to Delaware. But there was a time when I actually explained to one of my friends that I could hear and I could see these spirits that are around me, and the first thing she did was take me in and admit me into a psychiatric ward, and I got stuck there for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that I was a borderline schizophrenic, but due to the fact that I could differentiate between what was real and what wasn't, that it wasn't so severe that I needed to be heavily medicated. Now, when I talked to her about this after I got back out, I explained to her, you know, in detail what I was seeing and why I'm not crazy. And I explained to her exactly the question that you've asked, is how do these things manifest to me? And it actually really depends on the spirit and how much energy that they actually have. I've had physical apparitions show up in front of me, or they'll be walking beside me. Sometimes it'll be a smell that'll hit me first, and then the next thing I know, I'm seeing them or I'm hearing them. It really depends on the spirit. I mean, I've walked down the street and smelled perfume from that was made out of skunk scent and flowers. So, I mean, that's way, way back.
Right.
And the next thing I know, I see this really young woman walking down the street in a Victorian-style dress, and I'm just sitting there watching her. And a lot of people think that I'm crazy for seeing these things, but I think everybody is capable of seeing them. It's a matter of opening your mind in order to be able to acknowledge that there is something there.
Well, absolutely. And it's being carried out. It's being carried out a little bit at a time. We're starting to see more of this sort of thing being added, more of this type of stuff being available through scientific means. I mean, there's, again, back to this whole thing of my head swimming. One of the things that I'm looking at is that it's hard to explain, but there's an idea called quantum, you know, you've heard of quantum physics.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, oh, quantum physics. But what it basically comes down to is that everything exists in potential until somebody observes it.
Yep.
And what happens is then we have what they call a quantum collapse. And what it is that it becomes measurable. So when people talk about ghosts and seeing ghosts and why can't I see a ghost, some people have the ability to, there's a certain ability, a certain way of thinking that allow you to open yourself up and to see these sort of other vibrational things because they all exist simultaneously.
Yeah.
This is why some people can see fairy folks. This is why some people see ghosts. I actually believe the gods that most pagans understand, the spirit forms that exist, also just exists at a higher quantum level than we do. That is something people look at me as like, I think there's actually a manifestation of gods, of all kinds of gods on the earth. I mean, this is something I deeply believe in. And so when
you're not the only one.
Absolutely. Good. I'm glad. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're out there in the world alone. And I think that one of the things that people don't understand is that we're getting closer and closer.
I have something that's very interesting that I think you'd be interested in knowing, too. I actually did a YouTube video on it, and it was an article that was sent to me. It was a study done on the human aura. And it was a study done over in Japan. There, I did put a link to the actual article with the pictures and all. And over in Japan, they did a study in one of the universities that monitored how much light the human body gave off and where exactly that light was coming from. The main spot where the light originates from is actually from the head. It gives off more light than any other part of the body. And after the head comes the torso, and then it goes into the outer extremities.
And you got that through the Internet.
Yep.
And again, we have to make sure we verify this stuff. And so this is just like another layer. One of the things I feel deeply about, and it sounds like you may have a little bit of kindred spirit with this, is that I deal a lot with the idea of what witchcraft has been and what Wicca has been. But I don't think enough of us deal with what Wicca is going to become. I've just asked a gentleman, Reverend Robert, I haven't heard back from him, but about the idea of starting a science department at witch school. I mean, a real honest science department. He's getting a couple of PhDs, and it's like, oh, you like science. And yet he lives in a sort of, he accepts a magical world. And I think that, you know, everybody goes, oh, magic and science don't mix. But I tell people all the time, magic is the beginning of science. Everything in the world begins as magical subjective. I think that works, so I'm going to try it. And eventually what happens, it becomes objective. The old woman, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, you would have gone to the medicine woman and said, I have a headache, I need help. And she would go get the inside of a willow bark, grind it down, and say, hey, drink this as a tea or make a pill out of it. And everybody goes, oh, and the doctors go, oh, that's just a terrible idea. But today, the very same medication is called aspirin.
Yep.
And so it went from being the magical woman's weird remedy off a willow tree to being actually one of the most common medications we take today. So everything starts out in the magical world. Nothing that we do in this planet doesn't start out first with a magical thought. And I think sometimes people don't really look at Wicca for its sciences. And I think one of the sciences it has that people don't get a lot of is what we would call the science of imagination. And everybody goes, oh, imaginary science. They go, and exactly. And what Wiccans can do above everything else is that they can imagine things and imagining things is the first step of creating them.
Well, that's I actually get looked at funny because of the way that I actually do magic. I don't do magic in the contemporary sense where I light a lot of candles and set up an altar and everything else. It's before I even did the ritual and recorded it for the self-dedication. I read over the paper and I actually did the ritual in my mind. And I had the same amount of energy flowing through me at that time as what I did when I actually did the physical ritual. And I've never actually really been, you know, with the whole, I'm going to use my wand to do this, I'm going to use my athame to do that. I've actually, the only thing that I actually use that's physical most of the time is either the occasional candle or my herbs. I'm huge with my herbs. I love teaching about herbs, and I love using them, so.
And herbs today, herbalism, all sorts of natural medicines are making a huge comeback.
Yep.
After decades, even centuries of being, you know, kind of put down.
Which I think was kind of wrong to do in the first place by them putting down the natural cures that are out there, because sometimes the natural cures work better than any of the pills that they prescribe us today.
Well, do you know why it happened? I mean, I can give you, and people always ask me why it happened. And basically what happened is they tried to install the university system through Christian, mostly Catholic colleges. The idea of this idea of a doctor of medicine. And what they needed to do is to make sure there was, you know, once they had these people graduating, and they paid a lot of money to the church to get this education. Nostradamus was a member of this. I mean, to give you an example of a well-known person who did very well with it, they would have to make sure that there was no competition, you know, especially within their diocese. They were, you know, establishing a sort of long-term control over their groups, which they did. But they could not have somebody who could compete with this doctor of medicine who was using the Bible and using biblical law as well as practical information. And it was all based on this idea of to worship the creator, not the creation. And so they used that argument to basically burn witches who were competitions to these doctors of medicine they were producing. And it's now coming full round as the doctors of medicine, which all the doctors today are the descendants of, are now going back and going, well, what did they know? And now that they don't have any competition from the herbalists, they're coming back to reincorporate that into the human experience because they don't have any competition anymore. And that was one of the great, that more so than the witch burnings, the witch hangings, did damage to the pagan culture because it took away one of their primary place resources to help people and to be involved with people. They took medicine out of their hands and incorporated it into the church, which has then now become incorporated into our long-term government. And so, and us poor herbalists and us poor witches, I think is part of what happened today. And it's very interesting because you're yourself, as you said, as a nurse at taking care of people, you wouldn't believe how many pagans do go into medicine. I mean, as part of it.
Actually, I'm not half as surprised as what you think, because a lot of the girls that I was in my CNA class with were actually pagan. So there's definitely a large quantity of pagans that are going in to medicine, and a lot of that I think has to do is so that they can practice herbal treatment on a legal scale, I guess you could say.
Right, and So it sounds like that since you love herbalism and you're getting more of a medical background, do you think you're ever going to go for something like clinical herbalism, which is a new, which is an ironic teaching thing they're teaching, clinical herbalism?
Actually, yeah, I was thinking about doing that, actually.
Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron, though?
It does, almost. Actually, while I'm still on the phone with you, I do have something that I'd like for you to explain to anybody who does end up listening,
yes.
And that's how to become a teacher at witch school, because I'm actually very curious myself as how to go about it.
Okay. Well, right now, witch school is in flux, meaning we have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of different things. There's a couple different levels. If you want to be a course writer, just, you know, write Marianne at Witch School and let us know what the course is. And it's basically a lesson of about 1,500 words, and you can put as many lessons together as you like. 5 pages per lesson is usually good. You know, a little bit more if you want. And then you can just write a course about anything that you want, and we post it on Witch School, and we share these courses out. And that's one way. We have a mentoring program, and right now we're taking applications for the International Mentoring Program. And that helps you teach you into the mentoring for those people who have completed the first degree, second degree, third degree. And you can help with that. Everybody teaches just in their own way, too. You can also be a guide for a club. You can start a club on Witch School. Wendy LaJoy, who will be with us tomorrow, can start a club up. Well, that's another way that you can teach without being there. The way to become a master teacher of the Corellian tradition through Witch School, or through the tradition itself. Now, we do have master teachers of Corellian tradition. That's through our mentoring and clergy mentoring system, through the International Dean of Mentoring Program, or through the Essential Program, which will be starting classes up again shortly. And that is just a matter of, you know, that one takes 5-6 years. We only have 2 of those official, really heavy things of that nature, and that's Green Owl. Boy, I'm convoluted. So there's a lot of different ways, but the main way to do so is just to get involved at some level. Like I said, you just have to, you know, it's a pretty open path. If you want to become a mentor, we're opening up, like I said, teaching for that. You can find that on our site, on there. So that's the first and best way. Writing a course is a great way, and then you get involved with that. Now, this brings up what our feature is. By the end of the month, we're hoping to have a feature to allow people to mentor in more subjects. We're hoping that all our courses are going to be opened up to be having mentors. And that's a great way. We're also open, there's yet another path that people don't know about, and we've talked to a number of traditions, is that we allow traditions to come on, and we will give them space and help them have their own mentoring system, their own system of learning, for those people who have their own tradition. So, you know, how Corellians get a part of it, well, we would be able to do that for any tradition. So that's another way for them to come in. They just have to be wanting to teach their system within our format. Wait, have I confused you or did I help you?
Well, that actually cleared up a few questions, definitely. What about the Second Life? Because I did notice they're talking about starting classes that are actually in Second Life.
Oh, that's Second Life. Right now, that is an open game. Anyone who wants to help, Brendan Tripp, which is Witch School in Second Life, or he's on the Witch School site, is Eschatos Graves. If you go to the Witch School WSI in Second Life piece and say, hey, I want to volunteer, he's looking for it right now. Reverend Aphrodite is also going to be starting to wrangle people. That's a wide open project right now. So we just put up a book on lecturers. That is one of the areas where we're looking for people at every level to help with. For those who don't know what Second Life is, it's an immersive reality where you have yourself in a three-dimensional world where people interact face-to-face, even though they're on their computers. It's a very interesting environment for people to do rituals and things like that. And that's ground zero. That's a brand new project. So just yelling and saying, hey, yeah, I want to be a part of this is just the best way to do it. Just going on there and just say, hey, Brendan, or hit his profile, Eschatos Graves, which is on there. He's actually featured right now as a member. Just let him know that you want to work, and we'll get you started on this. I mean, we absolutely need, that's one of the things is we absolutely, it's as funny as it sounds, we need all sorts of teachers. One of the things I wrote a long time ago is that we're going to need 10,000 teachers by the end of year 2008, and I still believe that true. I think that the community doesn't have nearly as many teachers as it needs at any level. That's why I think there's so much room for so many of these sites to do this. And Second Life is just one of those little projects that is really important to the future. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And just join it. I don't know what else to say about it. It's really that simple. And that's the nature of what happens. When we start changing the way we work or do things, it creates these great opportunities for people to come in and help us out and to be part of everything. And right now we're making a huge change in things. So last question of the day, is there anything that people should know about you that they don't already know?
I'm pretty much an open book. If you ever have any questions, just send me a message, and I'll more than gladly answer it. And if you ever have any questions pertaining to Wicca or any subjects that are taught at Witch School, please feel free to send me a message, and I will definitely try to answer it the best that I possibly can.
Terrific. And we've got to have you back sometime soon. This has been fascinating. I thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on the show, and I'll be in touch with you to let you know when the next available day that I have is,
okay,
so I can call back in and help you out.
Oh, I would love to have that. All right. So blessed be, and this has been Silver Vixen on Witch School Live, and we're going to continue on here in a minute. We're going to play a little piece called Big Bad Voodoo Daddy by Airwolf. And we're back, and we have about 8 minutes left, and so 347-308-8222. That has been an absolutely fascinating conversation with Lady Silver Vixen. Boy, I got more than I expected today. I promised Don I would do this commercial, so yes, a commercial for Lustration.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis. Join me for the Corellian Lustration of the Living and Prophecy Conference, September 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Life Force Arts Center in Chicago, Illinois. Speakers will include myself, Corellian Elder Tracy Loganwood, ICN Archpriestess Dina Buta, Babalawo Alankulovich Ifa B, Shamanic Artist Joan Forrest Mage, Shauna Ara and Mark Mandrake of Earth Spiritualist Chicago, and Reverend Diana of Holy City Temple. Plus, we will be offering all of our usual illustration features, including initiations, demons, and more. For more information, go to www.corellianillustration.com.
And that was our dear Don, who will be on later this week. Okay, illustration. And I guess they're going to do some online coverage with it, too. It's going to be an amazing thing. So, getting back to my thing, tomorrow we're going to have Wendy LaJoy, who has been a wonderful person with us, who has helped us create the Witch School experience, and who gets so badly abused when we start changing the reality of Witch School, the cyber reality of Witch School. And that's what's happening right now. I talk a lot about it as, and Marianne's, and Don, and Tony, and Virginia, and Reverend Ng and Reverend Richards, and just so many people are caught up now into this wave of what we were going to call cyber reality change. What do I mean by that? As you know, I'm one of the leading proponents, speakers for the idea of cyber ministry. Okay, a lot of you are new that you don't know that. I've been a big proponent of cyber ministry since 2000, 2001. Actually began at the Parliament of World Religions in 1999. Recognition when BeliefNet was born, that there's going to be this idea of a ministry through the internet or cyberspace. Can you accept that cyberspace is another type of reality, a level of reality that we don't yet quite understand? It's another space. You actually store stuff in it. You have these sort of realities within it. You have a very manipulatable form of visual, audio, et cetera, et cetera. And your interaction with it is only a matter of how well you can interpret the electronic signals that are coming across the wires. wires and crystals. Key element. A computer is a crystal machine. Just as we talk about Atlanteans having crystals, we too, our civilization now is based on crystals. Yeah, the internet is all about the crystal. And we project out into the reality that basically we have the space where we store things. And things in virtual reality do have a certain amount of physical space it takes up in our reality. They're called hard drives. They're called storage facilities. They're called processors. So we have this series of ones and zeros that we deal with that creates a whole ability for us to communicate. And our ability to communicate increases exponentially every 18 to 2 months to 2 years. So far, we've been assimilating the World Wide Web browser. We've been assimilating Google. We've been assimilating Yahoo. We've been assimilating Microsoft. We've been assimilating chat rooms, IMs, emails. And now, suddenly, we have another generation of these things, MySpace, Facebook. We're out there. And various lookalikes. And then you added YouTube and Napster and peer-to-peer file sharing. Okay, we've absorbed all that. Now, and I'm going to need a lot of help on this because the groups and the people who understand this best are going to make a huge difference in the way the world works. The total leveling of the field is by the fact that we now see that people can make up patchwork or mashups or whatever you want to call it, because language is not there yet. Websites that are made from components of other websites through widgets, through embedded videos, through Blog Talk Radio and in the embedded player, which you can embed anywhere that you want. Yes, you can take this show and put it on your website. And if people listen to it on your website, it helps the time of people stay on your website, and it increases your rankings. What do I mean? Well, Alexa is just one of the many ranking systems. There's tons of ranking systems. Right now on Alexa, for the last 3 weeks, we've been the number one ranked pagan site in the world. It's true. Because we're getting various things of it. And one of the great things we have is this ability to have Blog Talk Radio. We're also raising the water of all the sites we're associated with. So they're raising up, and they're getting more traffic, and they're getting more ability to do things. And they're able to share parts of it. They take parts of our site and use the RSS feed functions to put it into their site. We are also on CarlaCalamity.ning.com is the Witch of Wookiee Hole, and she just started a Ning site of her own. So we have all of these things, and I'm running out of time today, but this is what my head's been spinning. I can't even explain all of it, but I'm going to definitely need a lot more help. Second Life Project, join it if you're interested in Second Life. If you are a social media person, if you like Facebook, MySpace, join the social media social network team. And if you just want to see how to build your community for yourself, you should check out the new page of the social media class underneath our Ning page. In our main page under Magic TV, you'll see this. And this is wonderful stuff with Whoopi Goldberg and the founder of Facebook and Luke Russert of MSNBC, this young journalist whose father passed away last year, Tim Russert. And you can see a lot about community building. This is just some of the ways that we're trying to work and help. And I appreciate everybody listening today. And if you liked what you hear today, continue to support us. Let us your friends know. And we're also looking for people to continue to support us through memberships to access all our classes. We teach 25 classes for free. And we're going to add another one soon. And we have over 100 classes altogether. $19.99 a year, $5 a month, $99.99 for a lifetime. Just go to the site and check it out. If I can leave you with any thought today, it's this. What do you want to do next? That's it. What do you want to do next? Because the world is about to change again, and the 2010s are going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderfully chaotic time in which the human psyche is going to have to deal with a whole lot of new events. Witch School is going to be a part of those events, and we're hoping And we're hoping that you will be too. Well, this has been Ed the Pagan. Today we have Silver Vixen, tomorrow Wendy LaJoy, and I want to wish you the very best, and blessed be.